Greetings, everyone. Good afternoon. Beautiful Sabbath day. Scientists who study gratitude surveyed thousands and thousands of people asking, for what are you most grateful? The top answer, not even close second, by far and away is mom. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. We'll start out the message this afternoon by asking a few questions. How do we, as members of God's family, compare ourselves to people in our communities, at work, in our schools? How much do we try to blend in with society so as not to stand out? Do we feel different than those around us? Let's start off in the Bible and see what the Bible says. Turn to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, please. This is a letter Paul wrote to the Romans. Romans 12, verses 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's look a little more closely at a couple parts of this verse. First, the word beseech is defined as asking someone urgently or fervently to do something. Some of the synonyms include implore, beg, plead with, or appeal to. So if you go back and put some of these other synonyms in there, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, or I plead with you, brethren, we see what Paul was really trying to make a statement here. What he's trying to bring out was a sense of urgency, because of how important it is for us to live a God-focused life. Paul and each of us knows how easy it is to look for joy and happiness in all the wrong places. Next in the verse it says, do not be conformed to this world. Conforming to the ways of the world can make us feel accepted and provide a sense of satisfaction and joy. But this is dangerous, because if we depend on others for happiness, then our focus towards pleasing God diminishes. His satisfaction with how we live our lives must be our top priority. So our focus should always be, what can we do to please God and not the worldly entities? Throughout the Bible, there are numerous examples of people drifting from holy living. Various kings of Israel followed other kings, and the children of Israel seem to want to keep seeking the old ways of Egypt. We all live in a world that is opposed to God. The Old Testament people were led and taught, but they didn't have God's Spirit. They were guided to do the right thing, but didn't have that inner conviction to follow through. We have God's Spirit. It's a wonderful gift and an amazing tool. As God's special called out ones, we should look for joy and happiness in overcoming, changing, striving to live like Christ did. If we feel close to God, then we will feel that sense of satisfaction that we need, and we'll receive so much greater feeling than we can get from the world. We must trust God. Christ prayed for God's chosen to be protected from Satan's world. A scripture Mr. Kubik used last week in his sermon is John 17, verses 13 through 19. If you would turn there, I would like to read this once again. Here Christ is praying for the disciples. And in verse 13 it says, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the word has hated them, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. To me, this is kind of a pivotal scripture here. We're not to seclude ourselves from the world. We have to live in the world, but so we can shine brightly as a light, as Mr. Carlson pointed out in his prayer. But we need protection from the evil one. Continuing in verse 16, it says, he prays, they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Earlier in chapter 15 of John, in verse 19, Christ tells the disciples, "If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." If we are to live as Christ instructs us to, then don't be concerned with how we fit in the world. Strive to be different from the world, even if we are disliked or even shunned. We are set apart as his family. We don't need to be involved in the mainstream religious practices and traditions because what we have here in God's church is so much greater. This is God's church and the only one that has the truth. This is where we learn the meaning of the holy days, where we came to understand the first and the second resurrection. We who have been given the precious gift of God's word must struggle for the truth. Paul wrote his letter to the Ephesians to strengthen those congregations in Ephesus. And in chapter 4, verses 17 through 24, he paints a really clear picture of how we, knowing the truth, are to convert from their worldly ways. So if you would turn to Ephesians 4, and we'll start in verse 17. Excuse me. "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on a new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." So we're made cleansed, we're made clean, we're new man. We shouldn't associate with the old world, the old way. It's like somebody who's addicted to alcohol or drugs. Once they're clean and sober, they can't step back into this world. They can't associate with people that do drugs and alcohol. It'll draw them back in. And they'll once again have the problem. It's the same for us as Christians. In Matthew 13, Christ explains the parable of the sower. And in verse 22, breaking in here, he says, "Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." Other outside beliefs and the cares of the world are thorns that will choke God's true word. It is so important to protect the word, nurture, and grow God's seed in our minds and in our hearts. Become entrenched in his way of life, and don't let anyone or anything take it away. Our salvation depends on how we protect the word of truth and understanding from God. In John 18, verse 37, Christ answers Pilate's question of whether he is a king, and he responds saying, "You say rightly that I am king, for this because I was born, and for this because I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Those that don't have the truth can't really hear his voice. The message last week during the GC made it so clear that learning the true word of God has to be the main focus in our lives. This will help us to better discern the right doctrine from the wrong doctrine. We must all have a renewed love affair with the truth. If you haven't heard Mr. Weber or Mr. Kubik's messages, I suggest you go online and listen to them. I found them very inspiring and motivating. Probably the best I've ever heard out of either one of those two gentlemen. Cling to what we have in the truth and in our spiritual family. The road is going to get bumpy, so we need to be strong and stay close to God. Trying to find a smoother ride outside the church could cause us to miss out on his promises. For our closing scripture, please turn to Psalm 4. This is a psalm of David I find very comforting and gives us some very good advice. It's titled in our Bibles, The Safety of the Faithful. Psalm 4 reads, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love the worthlessness and seek falsehood? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart, more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. We are protected if we are in God's house and not of this world. Don't get blown away by every wind of doctrine that blows through. Dare to be different than the world and at one with God's truth."